Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Sunday of Epiphany. We are honored that you are joining us from home or wherever you are this weekend for worship today. We hope that you are well and that you had a very happy New Year's Eve and a great start to your new year, 2021. I hope that you had a chance last week to tune in and listen to our student leader, Jordan Arland, deliver a message. It was really great, and I was really honored to be here with him. But I would also like to add that for the first Sunday in a very long time, I had to really think about the volume level of my hair. I've never really had to worry about it much on stage. Until last Sunday, I felt like my hair was really flat compared to the rest of us on stage. But it was an honor to be here with him. And I'm honored here to be with all of you today. I would like to invite you all, starting Wednesday, January 13th, if you haven't already, to go to our website and look up Habitual Happiness. We are starting a Wednesday night series virtually with Suzanne Castle. I know you guys will be honored to be a part of that class. Go and look at it, check it out, register for the class. It's free, and we will have small group sessions, and we're going to learn lots and just start new healthy us for the new year. So I invite you to join us for that starting Wednesday, January 13th. I hope that you enjoy the worship service today. The music's going to be great. The message is going to be wonderful. And I know there's something that's going to be a blessing to each and every one of you. Let's take a moment now and still ourselves for worship. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
God of Christmas.
Already the angel song is fading. Already we are starting to get back to our routines.
God of Christmas.
But still we want to see the child, to be reminded of the hope he brings.
God of Christmas, in this time of worship,
may we join the visitors from the east, come to honor the one who has been born to be king.
God of Christmas, after our time of worship,
send us back to share the good news of the season.
Even if there are those who would try to extinguish the hope and possibilities it brings,
transform us now as we worship this newborn king. We invite you to continue to worship with us.
Oh, stop. Would you pray with me? O God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, we thank you for your strength, for your guidance, and for your faithfulness in 2020. Lord, we're grateful that this day we can come before you to praise and honor and worship you during this hour. Please accept our praises today, our offering of praise and glory and blessedness, for you are blessed, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for tomorrow, for we know we can go knowing that you will continue to be faithful, to give us strength, to encourage, Lord, just to be with us. And we thank you for that, dear Lord. So we continue in worship, honoring you, praising you, glorifying your holy name for who you are, the Lord God of all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Children's time, boys and girls, gather around. I'd like to talk to you guys for just a little bit. I hope that you had a happy, happy New Year's Eve. Maybe you got to stay up late and watch the ball drop, or got to stay up late and blow some noisemakers. I hope you did something fun the other night. And I am excited to talk to you today because I really love this Sunday school lesson when we talk about it upstairs. It's the lesson when the wise men come to see baby Jesus, and we love to talk about this one in class. And, you know, I was thinking about this lesson, thinking if we were going to meet baby Jesus for the first time, what would you guys bring? What? We talked about that in just a second ago in the song. It said we lay our treasures down at the feet of Jesus. Well, what treasures, what would be good enough in your household to bring to Jesus? And so, you know, I was having this conversation with my boys and saying, hey, what are your most prized possessions? What are the things? Hey, let's go into your room. Let's look and see. What are the things that you treasure the most? And Mason just looked around his room and he kept thinking, well, I don't know. It was such a hard question for him. He said, Mom, I don't know what I treasure the most. And I went into Zachary's room and I said, Zachary, what is it for you? What is one of your most favorite treasured possessions? And he brought out to me a camera, a Polaroid camera, really old school, throwing it back, and he loves to take pictures. And he said, well, this this is one of my most favorite things right now. It's one of my most prized possessions. I said, okay. And then we found when Mason was a little boy, he wouldn't go anywhere without Blue Blankie. And this is one of his most prized possessions. It even has his name on it. And he took this with him. If we left it at a restaurant, we'd have to go back and find it. Blue Blankie was his most prized possession. And I thought, huh, okay, Cheryl, you have any prized possessions? What's treasured for me? And you guys are going to laugh at this one, I bet. But I am pretty honored that a few years ago, I got inducted into the Phil Vassar Fan Club. And I am a card-carrying member of the Phil Vassar Fan Club. This hangs in my closet when I go in to get dressed every day. I see this. This is pretty important to me. And then I have this sweet angel, complete oxymoron, right? I have this sweet angel that sits right next to my Phil Vassar fan club. And this is pretty special to me, too. I see this every day when I walk into my closet. And I started thinking, what? What does this have to do with going to see Jesus? Does Jesus want to see our Blue Blankie and our Polaroid camera and our Phil Vassar necklace? No. If we were going to see Jesus for the first time, boys and girls, what would you have to bring? Nothing. Yourselves, your heart, your openness, your eyes. When you go to meet Jesus, Jesus wants to see the love that is inside each and every one of you and the love that you show to everybody else. And all Jesus wants us to do is say, yes, I will follow you. I love you. I praise you. You are worthy of my love. And that is what's great enough for Jesus. We don't have anything in our houses. We don't have anything in our closets and in our bedrooms that's great enough to bring to the King. Jesus wants us and our hearts and what's inside of us. And each and every one of you is special and loved. And that's what is treasured. And that's the treasure that you bring to Jesus and place at his feet. And I hope that in this new year that some of you will be ready to say, I'm ready to follow Jesus. I'm ready to be baptized. I'm ready to be a follower and a new person in Christ. And I'm looking forward to that day when we can do that together this year, boys and girls. And as we leave children's time today, instead of a prayer, I want to leave you with a blessing that I have for you for the start of this new year. And this will be our prayer to end children's time today. Friends, may you know the joy that comes from caring for others. May your heart be open to the needs of the people around you. May you give of yourself, help those who need it, and carry the burdens of your neighbors. Boys and girls, always remember that by helping someone else, you are truly serving Jesus. May your life be filled with the blessings that come from meeting the spiritual, physical, and emotional needs of others. And may you have the courage to take steps outside of your comfort zone, trusting that God will be with you wherever you go. Amen. Our gospel reading for today comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 7 through 12. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite you to join us in prayer. And today I'd like to pray by just naming some of the people in our community. Just going to read their names and you don't necessarily need to know. You may already know all that's going on in their lives. This is not necessarily cause for concern. Some of these may be celebrations. For example, Pastor Gellerlow and her husband today are celebrating an anniversary. We wish them happy anniversary. We're grateful for their marriage, a blessing to this church. We pray for the Harrington family, continue, and we invite you to continue to pray for our staff, including Erica Spann. We pray for Pauline Nash, for Alexa McKenzie, for Lee Pennington, for Betty O'Connell and her niece, for Dee Dee Davenport, for Helen Moss, for Jean Mallory, for Jamie Blassingame, for the family of Robbie Lambert, for our beloved brother, Leo Paget, and we of course remember his family, Liz and the Pagets, Claudine Brasil and the Olson family, Gloria Stegall, Onita Steinhauser, Paul Younger, Fred Baker, Dub Harris, Johnny Rosa, Gail Settle, Jack Pazanti, Sharon Long Madden, Tressa Oswald, Craig Stout and his wife, Debbie, Rick Elliott, the family of Wes McCullough and our brother, Andy, Madeline Garcia and baby Murphy, Glenda Colby, Lonnie Hollingsworth, Lila Jones, Bobby King, Emma Lou Mercer, Darrell Miller, Ken Olson, Jana Thomas, and so many others. Please forgive me if I have not read your name in this past week. We did not send out a prayer list. And may you receive these names as our prayer list. May you join us together as we ask Christ to fill our lungs with peace, to fill our church with hope, and to fill our world with the love of God. Amen.
Our epistle reading for today comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So, friends, I want to thank you for your prayer for me and for my family, that great practice of empathy and hope. The sermons for today my friends here, Larry and Marilyn and Scott and Cheryl, will have to suffer through in person. These next two sermons I wrote in quarantine. I wrote them in an empty house with no internet. And what that means is that my manuscript has more spelling errors than usual. In Richmond, when I started preaching somewhat regularly, I thought I would do all my sermons by hand, right, with pen and paper, just like all the good preachers did it. And hear my confession, that did not last long. These two sermons today and next week that begin our 2020, they won't be about pandemic or COVID or even isolation away from family at Christmas per se. But it would be impossible for that not to have influence on my heart and soul. And again, I just want to thank you for your prayer and for your kindness to me and to our staff. And you all have been the hands and the feet. You all have been the presence of Christ since before the foundations of the world. And I commend you and encourage you to continue to do so. sorry. So at Christmas Eve, we briefly considered the truth. Do you remember Christmas Eve? We know those of you who got online to watch the Christmas Eve service. We know who you are. We know those of you who haven't gone online to watch it. We know those of you whom I'm married to who haven't gone online to watch it yet. I'll pay for that one later. And at Christmas Eve, we briefly, if you remember, briefly considered the truth to give is better to than to receive, right? To give is better than to receive. I think we can agree upon this in the incredible O. Henry story of a groom who sells his prized pocket watch to buy combs for his bride, the bride who sells her hair to buy a watch chain for her husband. And if this is all we had, if all we had was this story, if all we had was this truth that to give is better to receive, it would be enough. It would be enough for us each day, each morning, each season, each new year, to give is better to receive. That would be enough. However, the story of the Magi, this week, as the Magi travel in the Gospel of Matthew to the feet of the Savior, the story this week suggests to me not that to give is better than to receive. Rather, the Magi suggest a step further, and that is that the receiver is greater than the gift. Yeah, the receiver is so much greater than anything that can be given. The Magi, however many there may be, maybe there were three, maybe there were more, maybe there were less. There were at least three gifts: frankincense, gold, and myrrh, as we just sang together. And one of the often overlooked aspects of these gifts, I think, is how bad these gifts really are, which makes me wonder, did you receive any bad gifts this year? Marilyn, did you get any bad gifts this year? You might be sitting next to the person who gave you a bad gift, and maybe you don't want to agree with me, but maybe if anyone around you responded with a deep breath, held up the item and said, "I love it. What is it again?" Maybe you gave a bad gift. gold, frankincense, and myrrh are bad gifts, right? Of what value are these gifts to a child, much less of what value is gold and frankincense and myrrh to the child? Yeah. If he's the Savior of the world, did he need any of this? If he's the Savior of the world, did he want any of these things? Consider this incredibly common story. Maybe some of the other parents have experienced this. Maybe a young child, maybe a youth or a student, and let's just be honest, by today's standards, maybe even it was a young adult, comes to his or her parents asking to borrow money about that holiday time of year in which the family plans to exchange gifts. The young child or the student or the young adult even comes to his or her own parents asking, "Can I have money to buy gifts for the family?" Which, in, of course, includes you, my own parents. Can I borrow money from you parents to buy you a gift? And it gets even a little bit more ridiculous, does it not? For in fact, if it is a child or a youth or a young student, then the parents are the ones who will take this child to the mall. And they will give up their precious Saturday to take them to go buy a gift for them. And if you're dealing with a young adult, if you're dealing with a student, you're probably not going to get receipts and change from the cash that you have handed over to your small child or youth. And don't even start with a credit card. That opens up a whole new sermon illustration, okay? It's ridiculous. It's strange, right, that we would give money to our children for them to buy gifts for us. It's ridiculous. It's strange. It's incredible. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful, is it not? It doesn't matter because the receiver is always better than the gift. And you know this to be true. You may forget it at times, but the receiver is always greater than the gift itself. Further suspicions that I have as to why gold and frankincense and myrrh are bad gifts. What is a baby going to do with gold? Gold is empty and pointless to an infant. As you may well know, our family doesn't believe in banks. We are unbanked. All of our retirement is buried in the backyard or in various jars in our own garage. We, in fact, have a good number of gold bars at our home. And so earlier this week, to test out my theory, I gave our infant, our daughter Lainey, I gave her a gold bar and she did nothing with it. She did not appreciate me. She did not enjoy the value of said gift. She found no purpose with this gold bar. Further, frankincense and myrrh, as you well know, as we sang earlier in the great hymn, is directly associated with burial preparation. By today's standards, this is the equivalent of that granola, crunchy, hippie friend who gives to you the complete essential oil set for your coffin or for your urn. Yeah. Side note, our columbarium, just here in the south of our worship space, is an incredible ministry. I commend it to you for those of you and your families who may love a sacred, wonderful place to rest. We have the best prices in town. You don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to be a Baptist. You probably don't even have to be a human. And we can hook you up with said essential oils if that would be the kicker for you to consider Second Baptist as your sacred resting ground. Just call the front office. Tell Tanya I said all this in a sermon. She'll roll her eyes and she'll take care of it for you. I digress. Yet in another sense, I wonder if these gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh represent something greater. They must. Because, in fact, all gifts represent something greater. Gold, that symbol of prosperity, yes. And yet also gold is that great conductor, right? It is the thing that connects all things. It is Christ, right, who connects all things. Myrrh and frankincense, also used as spices. Spices for flavor and for pleasure and for joy. Frankincense and myrrh, yes, also used as spices in burial preparation, which in fact I think reveals the wisdom of the Magi. That it is not gifts that only celebrate life. It is gifts that also hold the fullness of life, which includes our end. Life and death. Joy and sorrow. It is these gifts of the Magi that declare the wholeness, that all things are held together. It is these gifts that declare the universality of the Savior Christ child. So it is that young kiddo who came to you, your child, and asked to borrow money to buy a gift for you. And on one occasion, this child returns to his parents with a gift, with a box wrapped in mediocrity, covered in a chaos of clear tape. It is this one kiddo on this one occasion who takes this box and gives it to his or her parents. And her parents, his parents, with great joy, receive this box. And they begin to open the gift. And to their surprise, they find that the box is empty. That's right. The gift that they funded, the gift that is wrapped with more costly a gift wrapping than they cared to admit, the gift that their child brought to them is empty. And on this one occasion, the parents, intrigued, asked the child, "Why is it this gift that you gave us, why is it empty?" And the child, puzzled, astonished, looks at his or her parents on this one occasion and says, No. The gift is not empty. The box is not empty. I spent all day yesterday filling the box with kisses for you." Yeah. You see, there is a deep connection with fullness and emptiness. Yeah. It was in an empty home on Christmas Eve, in which my heart has never been more full for the three women in my life. Emptiness and fullness, joy and sorrow. Peter Rollins, our 2021 adult retreat speaker, now moved to 2022, in case you were wondering. Second Baptist is not going to Santa Fe this January, this February, and my family, like many of yours, we grieve this. I mean, the retreat is good. It's fine. But Santa Fe, a trip to Santa Fe, I mean, that does something to you. Yeah. Pete Rollins says, "It is good to acknowledge that to give is better than to receive. This is good. And yet it is even better to understand that a gift, a true gift, is to enjoy that which already exists." Yeah. This may look and sound and feel even like emptiness, but in actuality, it is true fullness. And if you have ever exchanged gifts with a person you love, you know this to be true. It is that which already exists, which is the true gift itself, isn't it? For example, General Motors Company, the car manufacturer, at least these last two holiday seasons, have run a clever car commercial where a man and his or her spouse, a man and woman, at least in this car commercial, they exchange his or her gifts. And so the woman in this occasion gives the man this gift, and it's cute, and he smiles, and the man thinks, "Oh man, I've got you one up here." And so, as you well know from the car commercial, the man then pulls out a set of his and her car keys. And he places the car keys in front of his spouse, and she gets just terribly excited, and not to mention they have a perfect home, and somehow their home is clean, and that's a Christmas miracle in and of itself. And they rush outside, and of course their driveway is immaculate, which is another Christmas miracle. And they run outside, and here are these two incredible brand new vehicles. You know the commercial I'm talking about, right? And so there's the blue, all the bells and whistles pickup truck, GMC pickup truck. And then there's the red, large, massive, wonderful SUV. And it's a cute little reversal. And the woman grabs the truck car keys and runs to the pickup truck and hugs the pickup truck and turns around and looks to her spouse and says, "I love it." And the husband is like, "Okay, yeah, so I got a red SUV. Good for me. Yeah, you know." So it's a little bit sexist, right? We acknowledge that. It's clever. It's cute. However, Saturday Night Live just 2 weeks ago did a spoof of these car commercials, and comedy Comedy is one of the great teachers in our world, is it not? Which is why I should learn some comedy myself. Comedy is one of the great teachers. There's no other network on all of television that will critique both the current president and the president-elect, but comedy does. Comedy makes fun of both sides. It's incredible. And so Saturday Night Live, just a couple of weeks ago, did a spoof on these holiday car commercials. And particularly, they made fun of Lexus, December to remember. And if you drive a Lexus, wonderful. If you've ever given your spouse a car for Christmas, wonderful. This is not a critique of you. This is just a fantastic comedic representation of what gifts mean. And so on this one occasion, Saturday Night Live tells the story. There at the end of Christmas, it is again the man on this occasion who says, "Son, look under the tree. There's one more gift. I think it's small, but it's there for mom. Will you give that one more gift to your mom?" And so the son walks over and gets this little gift, and wife looks you know, excited and happy and interested. And the son gives her the gift, and she opens it up, and this small gift, and there inside the box are keys to a Lexus. And the wife says, "What?" And the whole family rushes outside, you know, and the dad's leading the way, and he walks up to the Lexus, and it's got that red bow on top of the car that you see in all the car commercials. And the dad's standing there, the guy's standing there, he's got one hand on the car, and he's like, "Honey, I bought you a car for Christmas." And the wife says, "You bought us a car for Christmas?" She said, "How did you afford this? We don't have the money for a new car." And as you can imagine, as it is Saturday Night Live, the whole thing spirals out of control. But what the wife is saying is deep, deep wisdom. She's saying our marriage is in the tank. Our financial lives has been in the tank. Our intimacy is in the tank. And you give a car. I don't want a car. I want to be with you. I want to hear you. I want to speak with you. I want that which a gift cannot give. There is a deep, deep connection with emptiness and fullness. Our friend Brian McLaren tells a very similar story. And depending on maybe where you are in some of your relationships, your romantic life, or maybe even your marriage, I find myself identifying with both of these seasons. But Brian McLaren tells the story that as a young, broke couple, he and his bride would go out to dinner. He said they like to go to eat Mexican food because, as I can attest, when you're young and you're broke and you're married, you can order one enchilada plate and split the chips and salsa, get out of there. You're out of there for less than $20. It's fantastic. So Brian and his wife would go to dinner, and they, you know, with chips and salsa, they're sitting there and they're talking and they're enjoying one another, and they're having wonderful dialogue, and they're learning all these things about one another. And he said even as a young couple, he can remember looking around the restaurant and comparing the intimacy of their conversations, comparing the intimacy of the moment that they're having over chips and salsa, comparing it to all the other people in the restaurant. Have you done this? I've done this. That's how bad of a person I am. And McLaren goes on to tell, he says it was after 20 and 30 years of marriage, and yet again, we still go to a Mexican restaurant. And yet again, we still split the chips and salsa and split the enchilada plate. And now we sit in the restaurant together and we might not say a word. Yeah. He says, we might not say a word to one another because we don't have to say a thing. It is that which already exists which is greater. Yeah. There is a deep, deep connection with emptiness and fullness. King David in the Psalms says this, Psalm 51, "If you desired an offering, if you desired a sacrifice, O God, I would bring it, but you do not." Emptiness and fullness. Jesus tells his disciples, go sell everything that you have. Give all your possessions away to the poor. And Jesus doesn't ask for you to tithe on it. Jesus says, I don't want any of the profits. I don't want any of the sales of your items. Go and just give it all away, because there is a connection that I can only have with you. There is a fullness that I can only experience with you when you have been emptied. The great hymn in Philippians 2, though God, Christ, emptied himself. Yeah. In Ephesians this morning, we read that great Pauline letter that says, Christ is the assurance of our inheritance. Even before the foundations of all of creation, this was and is and will be so. Christ is the gift to the world. Christ is our salvation. God has given salvation, hope, love, peace, joy, justice. God has given all of these to the world. It is better to give than it is to receive, and God has given, and the receiver is greater than the gift. God has given all of this to you, saying that even you are greater than love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. You are greater than any gift that can even be imagined. So, bring your bad gifts and bring your empty, empty hearts. Come on in to the presence of Christ, and you will be made full. Will you pray with me? If it were an offering, if it were a sacrifice, if there were anything you required, O God, we may try and likely fall short. But it is that which already exists, that which you have given. It is you that is more real than anything else. We bow before you. We weep in your presence. We laugh and we dance at the joy of the colors of all of creation. Thank you. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for giving. Thank you for the honor you bestow upon us, calling us greater than anything you can give. It is in the name of the Creator and the Christ and the Holy Spirit for which we pray and worship together. Amen. Thank you.